Welcome back. 402-951-1620. Blue Jay basketball tomorrow night, 6:30 against Villanova. 5 o'clock pregame. Game is a sellout, by the way.
Yeah.
They sell out. And so it just goes to show you, Villanova, even though they're not having a Villanova-like season, still a big draw. Then I think, you know, it's a Saturday night. It's the first Saturday night game of the year. There's something special about Saturday night at home.
That. Oh, definitely.
There's just something special about a Saturday night game.
Wow, look. Nick, cut that out and have it saved for the football season when John poo-poos fans for being excited about a Saturday night game.
Marked.
It's okay for one time, but if it was every game, that would be bad.
Every game.
Well, if they played every game on Saturday night, called basketball
plus,
season, the last like,
I don't,
9 months.
Plus, I don't have to do a 3-hour post-game show after a night game.
Well, you could if you wanted to.
No, that's for Jim. Jimmy does that.
A 3-hour post game.
Well,
Jimmy,
it's not 3 hours.
Jimmy Allen promises to give you 3 hours on Saturday.
It's not necessarily 3 hours.
Oh, okay. But, you know, okay.
Once in a while, it's fine. I like a little variety.
I was listening to Happer on the way in today, and he was looking at this game with a little concern, or maybe wondering if there should be concern, just given. Maybe it's a little easier this year than every year to overlook Villanova.
Oh, it most certainly is.
You know?
It most certainly is. I guarantee you, we're going to have it in predictions coming up. That point spread's going to be above 10 against Villanova. I mean, the thought of that is just like absurd. And with Justin Moore having returned after he blew out his Achilles last year during the NCAA tournament. He just came back to action in the game last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be his third game back. With him, you've got four starters from a Final Four team last year.
That's and yet it's a team that's obviously really struggled.
It has, but they've also, I mean, they took Providence to the limit, first place Providence, then first place Providence to the limit, and they took first place Marquette to the limit.
Mm-hmm.
In back-to-back games. So, yeah, you're going to look at the record and say, oh, they're 10-12. They're not that good. This should be an easy win. No. Never. And, you know, that's one extra game for Justin Moore. He's probably going to feel even more confident because it takes you a while. We saw it with Kalkbrenner, and he wasn't out, you know, with an ailment or an injury nearly as severe as a blown-out Achilles. But it takes you a couple of games before you feel like you have your sea legs back, especially if you haven't played all season. Well, this will be the third game back.
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely. This is one you absolutely cannot overlook.
Plus, you know, in this moment, and we've talked about it lately with the men, they're picking up wins. The talk about them being on the bubble or missing the tournament, like that feels a few weeks now in the rear view. You know, you finally allowed yourself to look at the bracket matrix and you see where they suddenly find themselves. And it's a team squarely in the tournament at this moment in time.
Yes.
And you know, now last month of the year, last full month of the college basketball regular season. And this is one of those games, quote unquote, that you should win. If you can get victories over Xavier last Saturday, you absolutely can. Now, I said yesterday, following the win, maybe a little closer than expected against Georgetown, that, I mean, a lot of ways that you can talk yourself into that game only being a 10-point victory, right, versus the Hoyas, you know, coming off the emotional game, atmosphere, all of that stuff for the Pink Out game on Saturday, excuse me. So you had all that, you know, road trip. You described the atmosphere. One of the worst that you have ever seen, and you've been on the call for over a decade now.
Terrible.
It was horrible. And so you put all of those things together. Look, they still won by double digits, and yet it was like, wish they could have.
Oh yeah, there was no question about it. It was one of their lesser offensive performances of the year.
Yeah, and so you follow that up with a bounce back, whatever it is, of good performance. They cover the spread. They look really good. And then I think all of the ways that we described the Georgetown win yesterday, I think fit. They come out. That doesn't happen. You look back and you say, was that a warning sign?
A rebound.
So that's what makes tomorrow so interesting. And that, look, it's still a name brand program. The fact that they have all those players back from a Final Four team, you know, we went over some stuff with Ravi yesterday What do you attribute their current struggles with? Is it new coach? Is it the injuries? Not enough talent? And I mean, you know, I'm with him. If they had Jay Wright, they'd certainly be a better team right now because Jay Wright was that good of a coach.
Sure he was.
You know, but they can. I mean, they should still scare you because they can still scare you.
Yeah, this is one of those where if things go south, that, yeah, on paper, assuming that Villanova continues to hover around 500 or maybe even a little below 500, it's going to look like a bad loss. It could be one of those where you hope that a committee really dives in deep and looks deeper into the reason why. Because I think this is a team that now in its current construct is better than its record.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, especially when you're picking 68 teams, of which, you know, half of them, a little over half of them are at large, so you really have to measure the resumes and you really have to compare the two. You hope that a game like this is you drill down. Same as if Creighton wins. You know, if Creighton wins, as they're expected to do tomorrow, it's still one where you hope that a committee will drill into a little bit and say, oh, but that's a little bit better win than what the raw numbers tell you. Because it's a team with four, you know, returning players from a Final Four team that just got one key member back and a lot of other things. But, you know, that's the game that you play this time of year when you're in college basketball. And the defending of home court this year in the Big East, it has been tough to win on the road.
Well, that's what this last month is going to come down to.
Yes.
And if a team falls off the top spot or from that kind of collection of teams, in my opinion, and I think yours, it would be because of home losses. Where home or that team, the team that rises, goes on the road and gets road wins.
Because right now, none of the top four teams in the conference standings have lost a home game in conference.
Crazy.
Which means they're also beating each other at home. No one's stolen one yet. Yeah. Providence came very close the other night at Xavier, but came up a couple of points short.
Yeah, we saw Xavier and Creighton. They traded blows, you know. Tit for tat.
Evan Miyakawa, who is a college basketball, what's the word I'm looking for? Analytics person.
Okay.
Had a graphic. He put it out on Twitter. He said, how tough is it for good teams to win on the road in conference play? And the table that he created looks at the game performance of teams in the top half of their conference for all road conference games, as well for just the road games where the team didn't play well. Didn't cover the spread. And right now, for the road game performance in the teams in the top half of the standings, the conference with the third lowest road game win percentage is the Big East. Road teams are 20-17. In the Big 12, it's 11-11, and in the Big Ten, it's 16-20. So it's a little harder in the Big Ten.
So do you think? Let me ask you this: do you think the home court advantages are that good? Is it the teams are that? I mean, the teams can't be that good because it's a very evenly balanced conference. Luck is obviously involved.
I mean, the home court advantages, say for Georgetown, are really good.
Yeah,
and I would argue that home court in college basketball has a greater effect than most, if not all, other major team sports. I know we've seen the survey, we've seen the study of, you know, NFL, NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, home field or home ice or home court advantages, and how, you know, baseball has the least pronounced home field advantage, and that's in the pro sports. But in college sports, and I think probably more so basketball than football, and I don't have any numbers to back this up.
I would have a theory on this on top of it.
But it just seems like it that, I mean, if you look at the biggest upsets in college basketball, and because there's just a sheer more volume of games, there's more upsets annually in college basketball, you see them on the road. where the upsetting, or the, you see it where the upsetting team is at home.
You know what?
And it is so difficult.
Let me give you two theories on this. The first one would be weeknight games and that they're in college. So like in the pros, that's their job. Weeknight basketball is a thing.
Sure.
College basketball usually have one weeknight game a week.
A week.
So, you know, and if it's a Wednesday, you're screwing with your classes, you're getting away.
Yep.
Sometimes you're staying over a little longer, yada, yada, yada. So I'd say that. And obviously, a lot of the arenas are older, and they're built in a specific way where it allows for the fans to feel more on top of you.
Well, even the newer arenas.
Even the newer arenas.
Look at Texas. Yeah. Texas dramatically improved its home court advantage by getting out of the old drum, the Irwin Center, and moving to their new building where Creighton played this year.
And having the students.
And the students were right there. And the problem with the drum is, the noise wasn't as intense. This building was built more kind of straight up, and the acoustics.
Yep.
I mean, they really went next level with this facility. Xavier, that's a newer, Cintas is only about 25 years old, so it's a newish
CHI's
building.
CHI's not that old.
A great home court advantage. Yeah.
Well, we had the email yesterday from a listener talking about how he's actually a bigger fan of Nebraska basketball than football, and he said, I like a big-time basketball atmosphere more than I like a big-time football atmosphere.
Because the fans are right on top of you. You can hear them. You're shooting into the crowd when you're on the road and you're shooting in,
and again,
usually
man,
into
having
the student
to deal with
section.
The travel around classes is difficult.
So it is. But this year especially, it seems like it's been even more pronounced in the Big East. By the way, he also looked at all the road games where the top half team in the standings didn't cover. The Big East is 1-14. The one lack of a cover was Wednesday night.
Mm.
Creighton missed by 13 points, or 3 points.
Yeah, 3 points.
In covering against Georgetown.
Interesting.
So, winning on the road this year seems to be even more pronounced. And you wonder how much of that will factor in. And with the committee always changing, there's always new members of the committee. But you do wonder, and I know that a lot of the metrics that they use, the net ranking, prioritizes road wins more so than home wins. And there are things kind of baked into the formula. But you also wonder if stuff like this, where it has been even harder for teams to win on the road in these major conferences, is going to weigh heavier in their thought process when they're comparing a couple of teams. Like, for example, if you compare a Big East team or a Big Ten team to an SEC team. SEC this year, the winning percentage on the road is basically 66%. But you do wonder if you look at that and go, well, it was a little harder for them to win on the road this year.
Mm-hmm.
And this team happened to win a couple on the road. It might bump them up a little bit in the eyes of the committee. We'll have to see.
Yeah, plus, kind of going back to something we said a couple minutes ago, just looking at the rest of this month and then next, the teams that can buck this trend, that's where we could see a lot of the moving and shaking. You know, the ones who can hold serve on this, gonna be feeling pretty good. And then obviously the good teams that can go on the road and pick up some W's.
Right.
And that's why tomorrow night's so important for Creighton.
Tomorrow night is very important. Very important. So again, 5:30 or 5 o'clock, I should say, pregame with a 6:30 tip. And it is a stripe out. They are striping out the arena.
And they're not giving out the shirts. They're telling you which shirts to wear.
Yes. Yes.
A striped one, right?
Except for, no.
Oh, no?
No, it's not a striped shirt. It's the arena itself will be striped out. Every section.
Oh. Section 102 wears like blue or white.
Oh, that's way cooler than what I said.
Yes, definitely.
So it'll look like, a blue and white, pinwheel.
But they're not giving out the shirts.
Right.
So they're like the pink out, they gave out the shirts. But this one,
you're sitting here, wear this color.
My guess is
they do the white out at Penn State, they don't give out the shirts.
They don't give out the shirts. Yeah. But that's easy, right? It's just everyone wear white. This one, look.
If you're a Creighton fan, first of all, everyone has white shirts.
What about the olds, though?
Everyone has white shirts.
No, it's not that. It's figuring out which section you're in. What would you do? Would you just bring both shirts just to be safe? Have a backup shirt?
Like a blue hoodie,
but a white
shirt.
There's a map, you look it up, and it's
right
there.
But what if you're 80 years old? Watch the internet. You don't know how to get online?
I'm guessing that they have.
Juno?
Well, when you consider that now all the tickets are digital, you have to be able to get online.
So you have to be able to be on the internet?
Yeah, and I'm sure that the
Chris Berman doesn't
I'm sure
have an
that
email.
The athletic Welcome department sent out an email saying, hey, don't forget this is the stripe out game, and you're in section 102 and you need to wear blue.
What if Phyllis and Deschler is waiting for the letter in the mail to arrive?
Well, Phyllis and Deschler is waiting for the mail, right? A, Deschler. The fact that she's coming from Deschler, which from here is about 2.5 hours away.
That's not too bad.
I'm guessing Phyllis and Deschler probably isn't that concerned.
Come on, Phyllis. Oh, I didn't realize that was where Deschler was. I always figured Deschler would have been way out in the panhandle.
It's no, just in, it's on the Kansas
just
border.
In the eastern part of western Nebraska.
It's
south of York.
It's southwest. It's straight south of York, southwest of Lincoln,
yeah,
right on the Kansas border.
It's a straight little line.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
my great grandma lived in Deschler.
Really?
Yeah.
Lepincott?
No. Great grandma Pika.
Pika? I haven't heard about this family member.
Well, she's on the Bishop's side.
Ah, okay.
Was from Deschler.
Would she know to check her email?
She passed away a long time ago. Oh. Never probably touched a computer in her life.
Dang. R.I.P.
Yeah.
Kenny says, the striping won't work unless they provide the appropriate section sweater vests. That's true. Will they be handing out sweater vests?
You know, it's funny. As many Creighton games as I've been to...
Never seen a sweater vest?
I could probably count the number of actual sweater vests I have seen in the crowd on one hand.
You need to call a game wearing a sweater vest sometime.
You should.
This would be a good bit.
The next one with Robbie.
Yes.
Robbie in a suit, John in a sweater vest.
I like this idea. It's a good
look.
I'm
fine.
It's a good look.
There's nothing wrong with a good sweater vest, especially this time of year when they tell you it's going to be 50 degrees, but in actuality, it's going to feel like 12.
Wow. Wow, that'd be some hot wind or cold wind.
Parker Gabriel will be joining us next from the Denver Post. The Broncos hired a new coach, but they still have the same quarterback. Coming up on 1620 The Zone, John Bishop here for McCarthy's 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning, the folks who are always on time or you don't pay a dime. And you do not want to be a statistic. If you have not gotten your gas furnace inspected in the last year, please make an appointment right now with McCarthy's 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning. Because the heat exchangers in furnaces age over time, they start to wear. That leaks carbon monoxide, potentially deadly carbon monoxide gas, into the air. And the problem with carbon monoxide is you can't detect it unless you have a carbon monoxide detector. And McCarthy's 1 Hour right now, with each maintenance inspection that you schedule through the end of February, McCarthy's will provide half off on carbon monoxide detectors. So not only do you get your furnace inspected to make sure it's running efficiently and safely, you'll also have a carbon monoxide detector to take all of the stress out and know that your family is staying safe. So visit McCarthy's1hour.com and schedule that furnace inspection today with McCarthy's 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning.